All right, everybody, this is Emily Gomer, Emily M. Gomer, providing the Compassionate Citizens podcast. Emily has taken over the show and plans to have Jennifer A. Whitaker from Jaws Coffee Chat Series joining in for Compassionate Citizens. Stay tuned. The show is starting right now.
Okay. Well, Jen isn't on here yet, and I'm not sure when she's coming on. So, anyway. So welcome everybody to the Compassionate Citizens podcast, where we are talking all about compassion. This show was inspired by Norlin Dimmitt out of Chicago, who has the Compassionate Citizens group down there. And this show started a couple of years ago with Kurt and a few other people. Hi, Jen. Jen's here. We lost Jen, but anyway, as I was saying, the show was inspired out of the Compassionate Citizens Foundation with Norlin Dimmitt. And
okay, now I'm really here. Something happened and somehow closed. So do we have a guest of honor here or anybody?
No, not right now.
All right, then.
So I was just sort of introducing the show, saying that this was inspired through Norlin Dimmitt out of Chicago with the Compassionate Citizens Foundation. You're done, mate, to sort of introduce yourself a little bit.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jennifer A. Whitaker. I'm an author as well as a podcaster that's part of the World of Ability Network. My podcast is called Jaws Coffee Chat. That's JAWS Coffee Chat. And that's where you'll find me, as well as Emily Gomer here, who is also on my podcast, in addition to me being a co-host of Compassionate Citizen. And interesting enough, knowing that here on Compassionate Citizen, we talk about being compassionate with one another, I had an opportunity to see a lack of compassion. And that shows that there is still a need for people to be reminded about why we should be compassionate with one another in the different ways related to our differences. For example, many people think that the old historic idea of segregation has been done away with. Well, interesting enough, I was talking to somebody this morning that has a different skin color than myself. And she was saying how when she was in a community, she lives near two small towns. It's really like in the middle of nowhere. And when she went near one of those small towns, she said it's all white people and how they give her looks and judge her and tell her she's not welcomed. But if she goes to the other small town that's the opposite direction from where she lives, it's people the same color as her that welcome her. A lot of people don't think that this problem still exists, but it's basically a, you could say, political issue, but on the basis of accepting each other and being compassionate with one another in spite of our differences. I was telling her how in big cities like Houston, Dallas, and other places that are considered major cities as opposed to small towns that are in the middle of nowhere, how there's a lot more diversity and there's a lot more welcoming of people of different different types, whether it's abilities versus disabilities, it's different professions, it's different skin colors, different languages, all kinds of differences. But when you go in these well-developed areas, major cities and all, it's pretty common to find that there's a lot of integration, meaning like different people of different groups and are all integrated in the same community. They go, they're kids of all kinds of diversities in the same community or the same school of whatever age. And she was telling me how this morning, even though that problem is there in one of the small towns near her house, that's about a 30-minute drive, that however, in that same town that has this problem still, that judges her just because she's a different color from the rest of them, that they welcome her in the workforce, and they actually see that the different people that fill different jobs are people of different races and ethnic groups and so forth, even different religions where some of them are Muslims and so forth, that are evident via the cloth being wrapped around their head and the Hindu with the pieces between the eyebrows and so forth. That in those areas, as far as the jobs, they welcome diversity. But then those same people that are not white are judged by the local community, even though they're welcomed in the workforce. And it just seems like it clashes because the community is the source of jobs. But however that is, all this to say, even in small towns where we think everybody gets along and we think we don't have crime and whatever reasons that people believe that small towns are better, that even they are still impacted by history and the lack of diversity, the need for compassion instead of judgment on these different bases, the need to understand that they're still human. Whatever is their difference with you or the rest, there's still a person that still has feelings, that still can be someone to be your friend, your colleague, your client, a professional you work with, someone else in your church, or however else you interact with the community, while their difference isn't really a bad thing. Nobody picks what color they want to be born as. So look at their true color, that's the, metaphorically speaking, that's their character, their behavior, their heart. And don't look at the things that we can't control, because none of us decide to be what we are. Like in my case with having Asperger's and PTSD, I didn't choose to have that. So should I be judged because I have it, to say I didn't get a job or a client in the workforce because I have those? Absolutely not. That's what the Disability Act is about, the accommodation for people with differences. And that's why there's even modern day where some companies, and this is kind of like the trend of the business world, some companies are starting to have like a yoga room or meditation room for people that don't believe in any higher being.
and then prayer rooms for those who do believe in some kind of higher being, and having some kind of set frequency of breaks, like a 15-minute slot every so many hours of their workday, to be able to go and do either meditation or prayer. And that's not to say that those that have some kind of religious belief in a higher being cannot meditate, but that these are different ways to bring the welcoming of even different religions to be a part of the workforce without the need that someone even has, as we could say, a religion, because some people who don't believe in a higher being would say that they have no religion, or they, quote, don't choose to have religion, or however else. That's, then again, you don't have to be in that group to go to the meditation room, but the workforce is doing these different things in offices and other business buildings where people go to do their job to give recognition of diversity, acceptance, while bringing people together for the purpose of whatever relates to the business and each person's role, whether it's IT, it's app development, it's web design, it's marketing, accounting, anything, whatever's your role that has to do with your part in the company and the type of job you do, distill that we're welcoming diversity, and the world is shifting that way. But a lot of people don't realize how the shift, yeah, it's in the right direction, but it's a lot slower rate than we ever anticipated. Go back to the Martin Luther King days. We wouldn't imagine today to still be talking about this. And that's not just focusing on certain groups, but the whole idea of diversity that is even 50 years later, give or take, is still a problem that we thought we resolved years ago. And it's all to say that these are various needs for compassion. Welcoming people of differences has to do with having compassion for those other people and an open heart with an open mind to welcome them in spite of whatever's the difference they have compared to you or the others in the area, the group, the community. Do you have anything to add, Emily?
I think compassion is very important to have with everybody and everything. Especially since we don't really know where or yeah, we really don't know the whole extent of the situation that the person may be in at any given moment. And so, yeah, that's important to have compassion.
Would you agree that that problem, wherever in the world it still exists, that it's a lack of compassion?
Yeah.
So it confirms that we still need compassionate citizens show and to spread the word of the need of compassion, but those just being examples without spotting any specific geographic area of where it is still needed.
Yep.
Interesting enough, when she was telling me about it, I was talking to her about other places I've been when I was growing up, that I would be disowned by the white community because I was friends with someone that was a different color. And similar would happen to this friend as it did when I was in high school. She was African American or Black, whatever you want to call it, and the community that had at one point accepted her, disowned her because she was associated with me for the simple fact that my community and her community just, they still had a segregation problem. And so they did not agree with the fact that we were two different races or ethnic groups mingled together as best friends. So after choosing to be best friends with each other, as we met in our high school class, each other was all we had. We didn't have the rest of the community anymore. And that's while knowing this is in the 2000s. So it wasn't too long ago. And that's why I say, looking at in cases of that that I experienced in high school, I won't say where, but it's in the U.S. it's not where I live now. And that's part reason I chose to move away from that place. But still, that in that recent of a history, it's still there. When I go to my dad's house, it's still in his community of where they even make big deals because their whole community is white. And so when they've even had people of different colors check out homes that were on sale, or should I say for sale, that there'd be a whole gossip going around this community about, did you see this, whoever? Look at that house. I don't know, we want this, whoever. Make sure they don't buy the house. Well, what's the problem? They're still human. He or she, whatever group they belong to in terms of race or ethnicity, still is somebody who can work a job, who does work a job, and that's why they have that however much money based on the market value of the house to potentially buy the house, or at least to be willing to be shown by the realtor, as far as because they've shown reasons financially that they could afford the house if they liked it. But it doesn't mean they're less human or that they're not human, right?
Right.
But that's even, that one's more modern day. Like even when I went for Thanksgiving break, when we were out for that week for Thanksgiving of 2022, and in a certain part around my birthday, when I was traveling to my dad's, I experienced that. And it was really awkward because we're used to diversity here in Texas and other parts of the U.S. Like I know, like Emily, the different people you've introduced me to, even if you didn't know them locally, but they were somewhere on the Happy Neighborhood Project, right? They're people of all kinds, not just professions, but in other ways of who they are, right? So even if the problem I'm talking about exists in your community, as far as the physically local, it's not in your or Kurt's or my perspective in terms of who we're willing to interact with, even if it's only virtually. And that says something about us welcoming diversity, even if our communities don't. But that's what we need more of, that welcoming in spite of whatever differences.
Right.
To see the person, the character, or if you're someone that's like an employer or a boss, to see the skills and the personality, such as someone for a sales job being talkative, interactive, friendly, and other things like that. They can have to do with the character, but it's for the purpose of being able to do the job well. Or something related to maybe the more clientele end, to be someone that you like in spite of whatever you may want to label them, that they have the equipment or they have the assets of other kinds, the financial ability in something related to the business they own, that can produce or do whatever that's based on whatever kind of contract two businesses want to have together. But it's not looking at their skin. It's not looking at their race. It's not looking at their religion or anything else that's, you know, outside of the actual character of who they are or skills they bring to the table, depending on what perspective and what kind of relationship.
Right.
Do you have anything to share?
Us?
Not sure they want to put the, there. I'm sure there are. Always going to be opportunities that come up to practice compassion, whether it's like with compassion with somebody else or even self-compassion. And it's just important not to take a thing like that lightly.
I like how you mentioned self-compassion, because what I found with this person is that they're struggling with self-compassion as a reaction to lack of community compassion. How many of us, you know, even if it's then going back to the whole world of ability, right? We're all people with special abilities, as y'all say. So we have whatever struggles that say, my Asperger's makes me more artistic, which is why I do better in, or at least well, in writing. That's an art, even though my education is in a more black and white picture. So it's special abilities within what's typically labeled as a disability. But even in situations like that, I've found that some people have judged me. And then I wonder, well, you know, so whoever may be right, maybe I'm just not anybody, maybe I'm nobody, or, you know, maybe I should back out of this or that because, you know, whoever said this or judged me this because they said, I mean, you know, I'm going with that where different people take different actions that maybe the lack of compassion, and it's often that whether it's the person I saw this morning or it's myself or it's any human being, somebody judges us and then we start to question it about ourselves. So somebody's not compassionate and then suddenly we decide, well, maybe I shouldn't be compassionate about myself, right?
Uh-huh.
Have you experienced that to know what I'm saying about the, you know, somebody treat you a certain way and then you kind of question yourself?
Yes.
So that probably would be good to say if we've both seen ourselves struggle with that because of what happened on the outside, being some other human or something, right? Or even an animal like a dog attacking you, right? That it's even more important that different neighbors, coworkers, companies, whether it's boss or it's subordinate, customers, whatever, but the people of our society are compassionate with others because of what we just talked about. That's where those others impact how we are in ourselves. But often we go through things like therapy to try to cure ourselves of our own difficulties, say, to learn to be more compassionate about ourselves and to care more about ourselves. And I can personally say, in spite of all that I have achieved in my career, I still kind of question myself to be worth anything. And I kind of wonder how many people go through that, where all these people know our names, they know this or that about what we do. Like, say, they know the books I've written, okay, or whatever, right? But we personally tend to hold on to that latch of, well, you know, whoever said or did whatever, there was a lack of compassion, so I'm still this many years or months stuck with this certain question of, am I worthy? Which is, and again, like a struggle with self-compassion that tends to stick around, even when that whoever outsider, it was a different person, is gone and out of your life, right? Because you're in another season, or you've moved places, or you're in a different company. When you say that it's harder to deal with the personal side, like the self-compassion, especially after those difficulties?
Probably.
Have you seen that it's harder to get yourself past it when whoever influences you and you then have this own personal struggle of self-compassion, that it takes longer to, like, let's say, forgive yourself than to let the other person get out of your life in some way or another based on how you knew them or interacted?
Yeah, I think everybody at some point in their lives kind of doubts their... doubts what they're doing, or doubts about a lot of things.
Which are, in other ways, different struggles that could be induced and maybe originating some point, even a parent that didn't congratulate you for graduating high school, but just suddenly went in straight to, you need to go to college, and you're like, what about now? What about what I've already achieved that was, even if it's as a child and it was a parent, that some kind of outsider influenced us. That's why we tend to, at least in different chapters in life, if not our entire life, question our worthiness, which is the lack of compassion for ourselves because of whatever difference or experience. Like the idea of a parent not recognizing the child's accomplishments, right?
Uh-huh.
So if we look at something like that, it's a lot bigger problem, because how many people end up, especially now compared to our generation, in divorced homes? They only have one parent, and the parent that's not there, they kind of wonder sometimes, do I mean anything to this other parent that's been out of my life for so long? Or maybe they're barely there because they live at a distance and the only ones in a blue moon call them. So they're there, but not there at the same time, right?
Yeah.
And we've been on like different shows with Kurt, talks about this divorcing and other splitting of families becoming more and more common and a higher frequency. And you wonder sometimes, or at least I do, how does what we're talking about now, this lack of self-compassion, even if it is as a result of somebody on the outside, how frequently do you think that links in to other things that you and Kurt talk about, like veterans and suicide rates, right? They go through the whatever, whether it's actually a war or something related to their service. And then there's their experience when they come back home in the civil world, as opposed to the actual like battlefields. And there's been experiences along the way, if not necessarily the way that the community in the civil world treats them, that then adds to whatever troubles they're already going through because of what they saw at war. And it leads to where we were going of the growing rate of suicide, which I think that growing rate isn't independent to veterans, like what y'all talk about. I think that's a bigger portion of society as a whole, even non-veterans, especially since the pandemic, or even during it.
But still, well, I think it's a issue with everybody. But I think
that's exactly what I'm saying. See,
I think it's a big problem with everybody. But I think there may be certain people or certain groups of people that may be more. What was the word?
Vulnerable?
Or susceptible, or than others with it. Or it's more of an issue with certain people than maybe others, but that everybody has it to an extent. Or, yeah, everybody has it. It's just, it may be more of an issue with certain groups of people or something like that than others.
Well,
more obvious or something along those lines.
And I think some of the ones that are those groups that's more vulnerable or more susceptible, as your word was, have to do with anything with this lack of compassion to somehow struggles into lack of self-compassion. And it's a it's a downward spiral, you know what I'm saying? And that's how we get down low enough to be depressed to the point of wanting to be suicidal. You know, even if it really means we need medication, often it starts with some kind of something we went through that triggered something in our brain. Like a flashback or something, right? So depending on what we go through in life, but so that it's our experience and the different people around us that leads to what happens inside of us.
Yeah.
And that's why I'd like to get through to our listeners today, because a lot of people get very involved with different stuff that's the pre and post pandemic things and changes. And at least for those who want to look at everything from Black Lives Matter to the mental health crisis, the opioid crisis, all these different things that have got worse or even didn't come out until the pandemic. You know, even though a lot of them, I personally believe, were problems already going on, just they were not rising to the surface until then. But a lot of them, these different topics link to lack of compassion. So if we're more compassionate, and that being a bigger chunk of society, that hopefully as we keep these episodes going here on Compassionate Citizen, they'll reach more people to be more compassionate about others and to work on being compassionate with themselves, like you were saying. And possibly self-compassion can help them heal and recover from these emotional traumas. Not to say you don't need medicine or therapy, but as one of many different factors to play in. And if we can do that, we can make ourselves better, even if it involves seeing providers, right? Or taking medication. Because even like with, say, this, where I'm now back on the depression medicine that I did better on. So I'm getting back into my personality, who I am. That's not the conflicting person that y'all saw for a couple weeks, right? But I also have to have self-compassion to forgive myself for how I was. Because as someone with a heart that cares, I'm hurt by the actions I did when my mind was in that different place. And so sometimes that's even apologizing to myself. I'm sorry that I embarrassed you. I'm sorry that I made a big scene over something so small, right? I'm sorry of whatever. But that goes to self-compassion after I kind of fix the problem. Because the problem could be resolved, but that doesn't mean there's not another problem like the lack of forgiveness of ourselves, right?
Right.
And that's where I see a lot of people struggle, because then even if they don't have a mental health condition, they can still struggle with at least that part. They may not be the type to fall for suicide or to have to struggle with it or depression or whatever. But then again, we can even just be people by different personalities that are just hard on ourselves. And then again, they may not align in these different groups that are more vulnerable, but doesn't mean they aren't vulnerable.
Right.
Do you have anything to add? Any thoughts or anything?
I this is a there's a lot of things that are part of this whole topic that we could talk about in regards to compassion.
Any coming to your mind?
Not totally at the moment, but I like where I've talked about so far.
Quite interesting, huh? Where all these different problems can be brought into the whole idea of the need for compassion. Wherever you stand on this political topic, we just need compassion. Because even the diversity thing, the equal opportunity thing, that's a political topic, at least in Texas, about certain things our governor is doing or not doing. Okay, or there could be other states with similar, or even things at national level. All these different things have to do with different divisions versus compassion and welcoming differences. And when we welcome differences, we can come to some kind of agreement much easier of whatever had a split at some point.
Right.
I mean, like, I don't know if you've seen on the news about where they said that they found the link, the whole origination of the COVID virus that, you know, led to the pandemic and so forth. That did you see on CNN or maybe another national news channel you watch that they found a lab in China that created it via an experiment and that leaked out of to lead to the whole global suffering?
Not sure that I saw that, but it's interesting.
Well, couldn't we say some things like that, starting with one person or a group, whoever it was at the lab, or the multiple people at the lab, or possibly the different laws that were missing to prevent that, are all examples of the lack of compassion that led to the pandemic? Because why would somebody cause such a thing? Whoever, one or more people in that lab, why would they cause such a thing if there's compassion? At least in that one or many people involved, right?
All right.
So it started wherever this place is. Even if they do further investigation to find it's a different place, but still that something that dramatic, that big as a pandemic, was started somehow linking back to the lack of compassion. They're compassionate and they knew there was something about that virus. And maybe even the question of why it was even created. Because it was done in an experiment of some kind. It's kind of like the whole, why would you even create a virus versus create a medication or create a treatment? I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting right there. Like, so somewhere along the line, it was a lack of compassion, regardless of where they stand on the political divide, what to do about what's our new reality. That even something like that, that's that big and affected that many, who knows how many millions of lives. Because in the US alone, in the couple years, it was the actual pandemic that we're supposedly out of by this year. And that over in the US alone, over a million lives were lost. So that's how many millions when you go globally that linked to that one person or group's whole idea of creating a virus. So that one group or person or people or organization didn't have compassion, and so many of us were impacted by it, different ways, different people, but it's that powerful. The compassion or lack of can be that mighty. Because then again, there could be different people that we like, even if you and I disagree on who's the political people we admire. They had some kind of good and bad impact. But the good comes out of compassion. Often with politics, we say the bad is because we're on some different side of the divide. Or we're somebody they call independent that's in the middle, and we say we like this party for this and that one for that, but we don't like either because whatever's the bad, what we think is bad, but isn't evil. So it's not always the lack of compassion, but it's still something we disagree with. So someone could be compassionate, and then we still see that this whoever that did all these great things, why didn't like him or her for this reason? Well, at least they're compassionate and tried, right?
Right.
But they could be just as effective as whoever that caused the pandemic, even though we don't necessarily see them as the absolute great. Versus how a lot of people with this, with the COVID thing, could say that was absolutely bad. It's in the gray area a lot more of the times.
Right.
And it's funny, I'm talking about the gray area while I'm wearing a gray shirt, right?
I'm wearing black, so. Which is a form of gray.
Yeah, that's about to say the all shades of gray saying, right? But we're in all shades of gray. And then we're talking about something that is kind of along the all shades of gray, with the different directions I've gone with, the need of compassion and where it is in other ways it needs to be in different areas of life. That kind of wasn't all along the areas of gray of compassion and its involvement in different communities or the world as a whole. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
How are you doing on time?
Well, we're 40 minutes in so far.
All right, then. Anything you want to announce or anything we got possibly coming up? Anything that's before you get into the whole announcements, but it's just like news?
Well, if we are always looking for people to come on the show as guests. So if anyone is interested in joining us on the show, please let us know. And we are.
Where can they email you or call you if they're interested in being on the show? Or maybe your Calendly link or somewhere to send them if they're interested.
They could email me at podcastengineer54@gmail.com. And we are here every few Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Central. So I encourage everybody to either come on or tune in whenever your schedule allows. We are on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and so on. The show is a part of the Relevability Podcast Network. So check out those social media pages as well. And everybody's also welcome to come on Jen's show. Hey, Jen, come on. So a little bit about that, I'll be right back.
So if you're interested in coming on my show, Jen, aka Jennifer A. Whitaker, you can go to calendly.com/JalsCoffeeChat. That's calendly.com/JAWS Coffee Chat. And that's how you schedule to be on one of our shows. Or you can look us up on your favorite podcast app, whether it's Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever that you like to listen to podcasts, or on social media as JAWS Coffee Chat, Jaws Coffee Chat. So with most of our social medias, it's the tag name as well, at Jaws Count. Well, if I can say it, at Jaws Coffee Chat, JAWS Coffee Chat. And on that show, we have various series that range from mental health awareness, Jaws Diet, which is a diet free of gluten, soy, milk, and egg, which are my four allergens, as well as we have Jaws Christ Talk, where you'll see our host, John Tarr. And you also see John Tarr on what's called Jaws Christ Talk Special, that's once a month. You also see myself, Jennifer Whitaker, on Amy Varley Live, which is where I interview an author that's also a public speaker who presents multiple times a week in front of groups of anywhere from the hundreds to the thousands of people at a time in large group audience public speaking events. And we also have the Jaws Follow Your Dreams, where Sandy Bowler, who's a photographer as well as an entertainer, gives you a little snapshot of his entertainment through comedy and jokes and other senses of lighthearted entertainment. He plays his music sometimes. He's often joking with me and we're pulling each other's legs. But we have all varieties of different shows. We're always coming up with new ones. But that's just a little idea for now of what you can find at Jaws Coffee Chat, JAWS Coffee Chat. Putting back to elementary, I can't even spell Jaws. Did you catch that, Emily? You have another face going red now.
Yeah, I'm having a new spelling, JWF.
I know, don't. Now you got a punchline for me. And
John, I have to figure out what. Now we need to figure out what F stands for.
Y'all Frank. No, just kidding. Hey, Joel, frankly, you know. So, you ready for any announcements or anything?
Do you have any announcements?
I just want to let everybody know, for those that are female Christians, we have AspireWomenForExcellence.com that is a women's entrepreneur group for networking, as well as a Bible study group for women, as well as has other events like goal setting events. Then we do quarterly goals, monthly goals, so forth, where we get together in collaboration to encourage one another to set goals and basically later follow up and check in with each other of what we did achieve that were our personal goals, work goals, spiritual goals, all kinds of other areas of life goals, and what we set forth and what we actually achieved And based on what we did not achieve, what do we plan to put in the next period of time's goals? But it's a collaboration. And we have other events happening as well with Aspire Women for Excellence. Personally, I know Lady Kendra, who is the owner and minister slash teacher, Bible teacher and leader. But that's Aspire Women for, like F-O-R, excellence.com. If you'd like to get to know more about me, Jennifer A. Whitaker, you can go to Books and More by Jennifer A. Whitaker. That's Books A-N-D, More by Jennifer A. W-H-I-T-A-K-E-R.com. Back to you, Emily.
There we go. Everybody is welcome to join us on any of our shows. Not just this one or the ones Jen was just talking about. We have several other shows as well. We'd like to...
Where can they go to find all your shows if they're interested in finding these others?
We have social media pages on all of them, like LinkedIn and Facebook pages. But also would like to give special thanks to Marcus Hart of Transforming Media, Jay Strine of the Disability Channel, Zach Clayton of the PIC Channel, and Lawrence Wingate of Wingate Studios for the last to have this show on their platforms. And if anyone is just everybody having actually we have another show coming up in August, so if anybody is I'm just gonna come in that to connect with me. Scalability MKE now. And anything else? Last things done. Otherwise, on behalf of myself. Garrett, John, and the rest of the World of Ability Podcast Network. Wish you a safe and productive week and to stay happy.